There's a study I wanted to share with you from the Journal of Sports and Exercise Psychology. Fascinating study. Study described, it's a sports study, it's actually quite interesting. Researchers asked basketball players to complete one of two questionnaires before playing a short game of one-on-one basketball. One of the questionnaires asked them about their feeling about death, and the other asked them about their feelings about basketball. Those who completed the death questionnaire showed a 40% improvement in their personal performance. If you thought about death before the game, you are more likely to be successful. So next time, instead of having Rav Schneider teach you a couple of shots, ask him to give you a Musar Shmuz before you start. What does this mean? What's the pshat? I'd like to go through, we're up to Parshas Lech Lecha. L'shita Seinu, in order to understand Parshas Lech Lecha, what we need to do is first go back and process something in Parshas Bereishis and Parshas Noach. There are four averos, colossal sins that take place in Parshas Bereishis and Noach. And according to the perspective that comes out from the Psukim and the Rishonim, I'd like to bring out a theme. And that theme is going to take us to something that's critical in our Avodas Hashem. The first Avera is the Avera of the Eitz Hadas. The Torah describes, I'm just going to grab a chumash over here, the Torah describes in regards to the Nachash trying to entice Adam, he says the following, Tais Chava, excuse me. Ki yodea Elohim, ki biyom achalchem imenu v'nifkechu einechem v'yisem kelohim. Yodei tovera. The simple pshat of the pasuk is that the Nachash says, you know what, I got something good for you. You know what I could give you? Something which you could become like God. That's the first Avera in the Torah. Number two in Parashas Bereishis. Cain murders his brother. Did you ever notice what the root of the name Cain is? The Torah tells us. Vatelet es Cain, vatoma konisi Hashem es ish es Hashem. Man has acquired God. What does that mean, man has acquired God? So Rashi says we become partners with God. We become partners. God gave us the power to create, to be partners with Him, and bring a child into the world. What happens? I would like to suggest that Cain ultimately takes that power too far. If he's been given the power to create, why can't he have the power also to take away? What's the next avera? Parshas Noach. Chamas. Gezela. The world is destined to be destroyed. Says the Ramban, why is it that Gezela is so terrible? The Ramban uses a cryptic expression. Because it's a sin, la'adam ula shamayim, to man and also to heaven. What does it mean it's la'adam ula shamayim? The Gemara in Sotan that Beis tells us that at the end of the day, God destines you to marry your wife. There's a baskal that calls out, Ploini leplonis. But not only who you're supposed to marry, but what you're supposed to own and what you're not supposed to own. Sada ploini leploni. You know what happens when man steals? Man is challenging God's order. He's saying, what God had destined me to have, I don't accept. Number four. What's the next sin? The Dor HaFloga. The Medrash describes that the Dor HaFloga were individuals who said, Nale v'kardumos, let us go up with axes and attack God. It's not fair that who he is Yavur Belyonim, that he is the one who is chosen to be above. We also want to be above. Notice the theme over here? Every single one of man's original sins relate to the same phenomenon. And it's not that silly Yetzirah that wants to watch things that's inappropriate on the internet. somehow might be connected, but it's something more than that. And that is man's balance of being, on the one hand, godly, yet at the same time, surrendering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah Kedoshah tells us one of the most important psukim. We said tonight, "V'lo sasuru achrei levavchem." Don't go after your hearts, says the Gemara. "V'lo sasuru achrei levavchem zu haminus." It's apikorsis. It's when man denies God. There's a famous question of Chanan Wasserman asked, but wait a second. It doesn't say "V'lo sasuru achrei roshechem." It says "V'lo sasuru achrei levavchem." Rav Chanan gives a very important answer we've discussed in the past. I'd like to add to what Rav Chanan said. There's another description of one's heart. V'rom levavcha, when man's heart becomes too haughty, v'shachachto as Hashem Elokecha. Rabosai, one of man's most formidable challenges is his ability to realize that as much as God shares with him, ultimately God will always be a mystery, and he has to be able to surrender. Rav Soloveitchik said it so beautifully in Vikashtem Bisham. God revealed himself to his creation, but also eludes it. He bursts forth from every ray of light and blossoming lily, from the tumult of the masses and the loneliness of the individual, from the joy of youth and the melancholy of old age. But despite his closeness to us, he is boundlessly far from us. He wraps himself in a cloud and retires to the recesses of eternity. That is a tremendous challenge that man still struggles with today. The ability for us to surrender, for us to be able to say, "I don't know," and not have all of the answers. Paradoxically, the moment in which man surrenders to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, "I can't understand everything," the more that science advances and understands of the universe becomes even more and a greater of a mystery. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as much as he reveals of himself, will always pull away. As much as we understand of him, as the Gemara describes, "Megala tefach, he reveals a tefach and then he hides behind two tefachim." But here's the paradox. The moment in which we accept our corporeal reality, the moment in which we accept our limitations, the moment in which we realize that we are a small piece and that at the end of the day, you and I are going to die, Adam Yisodo Me'ofar V'Sofo Li'ofar, and that one day, that at 20 years old, we might have a great jump shot, but there's going to be, God willing, an old man who's 70, 80 years old is not going to be able to hit that jump shot. The moment he thinks about that, the moment he internalizes his mortality, is the moment he becomes that much stronger. You understand this? Dvarim Amukim. He becomes that much better a basketball player. The moment in which, not he works on his shot, the moment in which he internalizes that he's limited, but at the same time, at this moment, he has tremendous kochos that God has given him. We don't entirely understand how this works. If the study is right, it's something that's extremely, extremely powerful. Let's explain how that works. The moment in which man realizes, wait a second, I'm more than just myself. I'm made up of a neshama. Listen to the words of the researcher of the study. Uri Lifshin of the University of Arizona says, "Your subconscious tries to find ways to defeat death, to make death not a problem. Self-esteem gives you a feeling that you're part of something bigger." In other words, the moment in which we face our limitations is the moment in which we realize that we're something bigger and greater. One of my kids told me the following anecdote. There was once a wealthy fellow who had a fascinating study. He wanted to test people's endurance. So he said, I'm going to give you $10,000 if you climb to the top of the 100th floor, but at every floor you need to read a joke. And if you laugh after the joke, so then you're out. They were good jokes. So a couple guys get up to the second floor, the third floor, they start laughing. There's one guy that's climbing all the way up. He's all the way up. 95th floor, 96th floor. He's on the 99th floor. He reads his last joke. And then he bursts out laughing. He doesn't make it. The guys ask him, as he comes all the way down, defeated, the guys ask him, they say, you did it for 99 floors. What happened up until then? He says, I just got the first joke on the first floor. There are guys that think that they're climbing high. They understand everything, but they understand absolutely nothing. It's the person that realizes that he has that mortality. That's the person who's a Baal Kochos. Let's understand this a little bit more. There's a cottage industry, a very beautiful industry in many ways. And that is about reconciling science and Parshas Bereishis. And there are people who have theories and theories galore. And people who believe that they have the answer to all the questions. They've solved it all. They figured it all out. At the end of the day, Torah does not work in the same manner that science does. Science is based on empirical study, what man could see. Our Torah works with something entirely different. How are the Chachamim of the Gemara referred to? They're referred to as Amoraim. Reb David HaKohen described that Mesoras HaTorah goes from Rebbe to Talmud through Shmia, through hearing. The Greek world and the world of science, which we respect and we value, that works through seeing. Let's go back to the first Aveira. What's the first Aveira of the Eitz Hadas? The Nachash says, V'nifkechu einechem, your eyes will open up. He entices us and he says, V'yisa kelokim, I'm going to give you so much knowledge and so much understanding that you'll be on par of God because you'll understand everything with your eyes. That's the trap. We look, we try to understand the world, we try to understand why God gave us such a president, but at the end of the day, there are things that we don't understand. There's someone else that's running the world. Hamamlich melachim velo hamelucha. We just said on Rosh Hashanah, we're so stunned and we're so surprised. We said it on Rosh Hashanah itself. It's Biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hamamlich melachim velo hamelucha. And who is the tikkun? Parshas Lech Lecha. What does Avram Avinu do? What's Avram Avinu's revolution? It's a very simple revolution. Avram Avinu comes along, and he doesn't even try to convince people or give them a Musar Shmuz. He says, come to my house for Shabbos. And then he gives them something to eat, says the Gemara in Sota. And then he says, okay, where did it all come from? Hodu v'shibchu l'mi sha'amar v'hoya ha'olam. We don't see him, but at the end of the day, there is a sound. And that's the Asara Mamoros that God created the world, that we have a Mesorah that's been passed down from your father, from your grandfather, all the way going back to our Sinai. L'misha Amar V'Hayolam. We don't have all the answers and what we could see, but it's what we hear. That ability for us to be able to surrender to what our Mesorah says, and not to have all the answers in empirical study, is one of the yesodos in Avodas Hashem. I mentioned the Talmidim in the past, that Rav Schechter Shlita responded to those who had asked him in New York whether women should wear tefillin in a girl's high school. He said it was asur. And in there he says an amazing story about another Rebbe of mine, Rabbi Braunschweigel, may have a refuah shleima. And Rabbi Braunschweigel described to him, they were roommates, Rabbi Schechter and Rabbi Braunschweigel were roommates, that it's probably about 60 years ago that he went with the Rav after Shir, when the Rav's mother was still alive. And he went to, the Rav used to go and visit his mother, and sometimes he would even stay there in Washington Heights. Moshe Soloveitchik passed away in the early 40s. His almana lived until 1967, if I'm not mistaken, Be'erich, another 25 years. So Rav Schechter describes in the tshuva, you could get this online, that someone came in and asked a shayla. And the Rav answered him. The person left, and Rebbetzin Soloveitchik came out of another room, and she said, I heard what the person asked you, and I heard what you answered, but I want you to know that your father would have answered different. This is the Amira from his mother. The Rav jumped out of his seat, ran down the street of Washington Heights, grabbed the person, and said, my mother says that my father would have said different. I'm not sure I understand why, but if so, I rescind the entire psak. This is what Rabbi Braunschweigel reported. He saw Be'einayim Ros. I told Rabbi Braunschweigel the story. He was very emotional. This is already, Rabbi Braunschweigel was already sick. And then when I told Rabbi Schechter, Rabbi Braunschweigel's response, Rabbi Schechter quoting him in the tshuva, Rabbi Schechter started crying. But what's behind is the messer of the story. And that is, at the end of the day, if my father would have said something different, if the Masorah has a different message, then even if I don't understand it with my eyes and looking in the Shach and the Taz, at the end of the day, humility is the source of our strength. It's the source of our Masorah. But it's more than that. It's more than just, it's a source of our Masorah. There's something that's absolutely beautiful that now happens. And that is, Rav Soloveitchik, the moment he does that, is he climbs on his father's shoulders, who climbed on the shoulders of Rav Chaim, who climbed on the shoulders of the Vilna Gaon. I once commented to Rav Chizkion Evansal Shlita, and we both got very excited about this idea. There's a story, and with this I conclude. Marenu v'Rabenu Rav Nevensal Shlita was known to have been the Chavrusa Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He learned with him b'chavrusa in his private room somewhere in Shari Chesed. Wasn't in his house. It was a different room. There were a couple times that people came into that room to speak to Rav Shlomo Zalman. He was learning with Rav Nevensal. One of those people said that it was an emergency. The family told him where Rav Shlomo Zalman was. He came and he asked the shayla. Rav Shlomo Zalman was very great. She said, first, I want you to meet my chavrusa, Rav Avigdor. So our Rebbe protest, he said, not chavrusa, Talmud. I said to Rav Chizkio, that statement made Rav Nevensal that much greater. Because at the end of the day, he wasn't just Rav Shlomo Zalman's chavrusa. He's a student that now goes on the shoulders of his Rebbe. He's not a co-equal. Now he's a hamshacha, he's a continuation. Not Stama Chavrusa. In other words, that humility is what created the greatness. The realization that we are so limited is what makes us great. And if we don't, then we run the risk of the Averos HaBereishis if we only use our eyes as opposed to our Hachna. Comes along Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu says very simply, Hoidu v'shibchu l'misha amar v'ayolam. There are some things we can't see, we don't see God, we don't understand Him. But at the end of the day, if we make ourselves humble to Him, then there'll be so much more that we'll understand, and so much more that we'll feel, and so much more